Father, the Lord is good. Let's quickly continue our teaching. So this message will be the last in the series, hopefully, all right, of True Righteousness Revealed. I thought that it's possible that it might also be the first in the next of the series, which we want to talk about the work of Jesus Christ. But we'll bring it, I hope we'll begin that one next time. So today, let's just conclude something. I want to add something as a conclusion to what we've been speaking about on the revelation of true righteousness. Now, what do I want to talk about? You know, let me just say this quickly. Sometimes people hear you, they hear only one thing you say, and then they wonder what you are saying, all right? And a lot of times, I really don't care. For those who want to hear me only once, I don't owe them any apology. You understand my point? I only teach those who, like if I use the word in the Bible, all right, disciples, all right, who are disciples of this anointing, who are disciples of this ministry. And the reason is that they listen to you for a long period of time, and they find it hard to misunderstand what you are saying. Once a man walked in here, I think I've given the example a number of times, and he walked in one day, and he helped me teach on the fact that God wants Christians to prosper. And he's a big man, and he looked at me maybe as a young man, older than me. I mean, he has a son in university, so he must be older than me. So he wanted to put me on the line of truth. All right, I don't think he was a believer, all right, because something I heard later, he was going to be a Christian. So he asked to see me, and they ushered him in, and he began to talk about the disconnect, that he saw a disconnect, that God wants people to prosper, so Christians don't walk, and all of that. He was talking and talking. You know, God gave me an answer for him, because I didn't even know him, so I respected his age and everything, and I explained something to him straight there. I said, this is the first time I've come here. He said, yes. I said, obviously, you haven't heard me teach. I said, let me tell you what I do. I said, listen. I'm a university lecturer. I teach in two other universities apart from the one in which I'm primarily a lecturer. And I'm a hospital consultant at University of Nigeria Teaching Hospital. I said, those who I teach, they know. They cannot possibly be thinking I'm asking them to be lazy. I said, this is apart from the ministry I run full-time. I said, the people I teach, they know. So if I say God wants us to prosper, they don't think I'm saying God wants us to prosper. They go and cross their leg and picking teeth in money. Praise God. God wants us to prosper. All right, we're going to sit down and wait for the prosperity of God. I said, definitely, they are not like that. You understand? You know what happened? He came with the idea. When I told him, I wasn't trying to brag. I just wanted to explain something to him. I saw his shoulders sag. He was shocked. Like, listen, you're not talking to a lazy man. If I didn't feel God wanted to also prosper, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I mean, why do you fight the will of God? Are you getting my point? If God wants you to die early, it's very simple. Just go to the center of the road, close your eyes. When the truck is coming, you know, you will have fulfilled the will of God. So the point I'm just making is this, all right? That I just said to the man simply, all right? This is the kind of people I talk to. I told him simply, you are coming here for the first time. And for that reason, you misunderstand what I'm saying. You judge me based upon what other people are saying. Who said anything close to what I have said? You will just assume that we are coming from the same place. Now, why did I say that? You know, I've said this again and again, and I mean it. I'm not joking about it. That you commit one sin does not send it to hellfire. Jesus is not. Listen, you know what the Bible says? It said, if God were to number iniquity, nobody will stand. All of us, you, me, everybody is going to hellfire. If that's the basis. But when you make statements like that, people think that you are preaching what they call eternal security. What do they mean by eternal security? Eternal security means that once you've given your life to Christ once in the past, no matter what you become today, don't worry, you are safe. I didn't say that. Did I say that? Because I know, if you go and read the book of Hebrews chapter 6, quickly open there. That's not the first, that's not our main text for today, but let's just read it. If you read from verse 6, Hebrews chapter 6, if you read from verse 1, you will see Paul, whoever I wrote, was speaking about the elementary teachings about Christ and all of that. And he said we need to progress from that point and move up beyond that, all right? And I said from verse 3, and this we will do if God permits. And I said, for in the case of those who have once been enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they have crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. Now, he's described a number of things to them, about them. In verse... and let me just stop what I want to say there. And he said, in not liking them to the fact that the ground that was already was blessed and all of that, it's in verse 8, he says, but if he yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. So you see there, I understand perfectly that the Bible says that it is possible for a man, a woman, to be a Christian and then do what we call, you can walk into what the Bible, what we call apostasy. You understand my point? Please bear that one in mind. I understand that. Later on, I'll read in a moment. You read from the book of Revelation chapter 3. You see that Jesus said something at a particular point in time. He said, you have to return and do the works you did at the beginning so that I will not erase your name from my book. You understand? And at those things, I know they can happen. In fact, John said that if you see a brother committing a sin unto death, you understand? I am not saying you should pray for such a person. And if you look at the context, it was describing a sin of eternal death. It was not just talking about sin that could kill him physically. You understand? Those things, they do occur. I am aware, I am conscious of that fact. Having been aware of this fact and having studied the scriptures, I am still telling you, nobody goes to hell because he tells one, told one lie. What I'm saying all of this is that I see people using hellfire to threaten Christians. You shouldn't be threatened. You should not be afraid. Let me tell you some things, all right? One of the problems we have these days is that many people who go to church are not believers. Let me say it again. Many, in fact, my own conservative estimate today is that if you walk into a thriving Pentecostal church, 50% are not saved. That's my estimate. That is not the scripture. That is my estimate. I may be wrong. It may be that 90% are not saved. I may be wrong. That is only 10%. But my conservative estimate is that 50% are not believers. You know, let me tell you something. Something about our culture today, at least in Nigeria, I don't know how it is. In fact, in Europe, it doesn't exist. You can be a very normal citizen in any of those European countries, and you say there's no God. In Nigeria, if you say there's no God, no woman will marry you. If you're a woman, if no woman says there's no God, only men open their mouth and touch such nonsense in this part of the world. So let's even leave the women folk out. If you're a man and you say there's no God, even the woman who wanted to marry will run. And the father will say, what happened? Daddy, he said there's no God. Now, the woman is an evil soul. She will run away from you because you said there's no God. Please, I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. Now, so for that reason, in this our society, people go to church to settle. A lot of people go to church when it's time to get married. Some go there to go and look for a good wife or look for a, or meet a good husband. Some do. But others, that's not even the issue. I was talking with a friend of mine, a classmate, all right, a few weeks ago. And he was talking, at the end of the day, his conviction right now is that there's no proof that there's God. We talked for some time, all right? And I said, so why do you go to church? He said, one, he was born a Catholic. He grew up a Catholic. Now, get the point? And then he left there and went to a Pentecostal church a number of times. And finally, he settled down. And when you ask him, are you a Christian, in the form, the answer is yes. Which one is your denomination? I'm an Anglican. Yet he spoke to me, to my face, that he doesn't believe there's God. So I said, why do you go to church then? He said, I just want to give my children the same opportunity I had so that they will grow up and make up their mind. And he's numbered as one of the members of that church. A man once, I borrowed books from him, Grail Message, In Light of Truth. And he was looking at the book as if, yes, this is truth. Yet he's a knight of the Catholic Church. For your information, Grail Message says that Jesus was not born of the Holy Spirit, was not conceived of the Holy Spirit. Grail Message says that Jesus is not the Son of God. Do you get the point I'm going to make? Yet he's a knight. Special occasions, he would dress up as knight of saying this, knight of saying that. There are pastors that are counseling women. In fact, oh God, God, help me not to say too much. There is a church right now, one of the prominent Pentecostal churches in Nigeria. My opinion is that 50% of their pastors are not Christians. I don't mean Orthodox Church, Pentecostal. That's my opinion. All you need to do is hear what people say in private. That's when you know whether they are believers or not. You see, that's what confuses people. A lot of people are preaching to every Sunday. They don't believe in Christ. What happens is that, like I was saying, this is our society. As you begin to grow, it gets to a point you cannot be nowhere. People go so that when their children want to wed, they'll have where to wed. So I'm like, if I die suddenly, who will bury me? No, that's the reason why a lot of people go to church. That's why I made a statement. If you're one of the people following me on Twitter, I sent a quote out, you know, a tweet. That listen, it is not the amount of truth that is in your head that matters. It is the truth that's actually affecting your system, which manifests in how you make decisions that really sets you free. That truth doesn't set you free because you heard it. The only truth that sets you free is the one that's affecting your decision-making process as a sign of the fact that you really believe it. It is not just I've heard the truth. I'm saying it to you. This is my conviction. In today's Nigeria, I don't know about Malawi. I don't know about Ghana. I don't know about Cameroon next door. I don't know about the United States. In today's Nigeria, 50% of those who go to Pentecostal churches are not Christians. They think they are. That's the strange part. They only came there to settle. Gone are the days of playing around. Now you're a family man. Every family man is supposed to, you know, it's just a cultural thing. For that reason, you can threaten such a man with hellfire. You can. A true believer cannot be threatened with that. I told you once, I heard a man preach. He said, going to hell is very easy. A good woman, a good Christian, one day she went to market and fought. After fighting, she crossed the road. A car knocked her down and she died. Say, I'm telling you, the woman went to hell. I said, if she went to hell, you got there ahead of her. Because fighting is not the sin. It's less sin than handling the word of God wrongly. Do you get my point? If you handle the word of God wrongly, you have committed more sin than somebody who just gave a exchange a few blows in the heat of argument. If that is the case, most of the preachers you watch on TBN are in hellfire already. Yeah, I hope you know that. How do I know? They use the word of God to raise money. Something that is very wrong. I have not gone to church. God spoke to me especially today to bring out the truth. The truth, if it is to be told, is that you want to raise money. God didn't say nothing to you. Yet you are not going to hellfire. A woman that just exchanged a few blows, you will not go to hellfire. Her blows are more innocent than the lies told by a preacher with the word of God. Are you getting my point? Go and read your scriptures. You will find out. In fact, we should read some of them. Let's just read them. First of all, let's go down to the book of Revelations. You see what I'm saying there? The book of Revelation, chapter 20, from verse 11. It said, then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, amongst them the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened. Please notice that. Which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the book, in the books, according to their deeds. Now notice this. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it and all of that. If you now go to verse 14, it said, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name, now please follow this. The premise upon which somebody is thrown into the lake of fire. He said, and if anyone's name was not found written in the book, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Please notice that. That If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. I want you to understand something. When Jesus sent his disciples out, he said to them, when they returned and they were rejoicing about the fact that demons were subject to them in his name. And he said, don't rejoice in the fact that you experienced that demonstration of the power of God. He said, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. That was Peter who denied him. You've got my point? Those were people like Andrew and Co. who misjudged his statement when he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. He said he's angry that we didn't take enough bread along. Their names were written in the book of life. And when Jesus was speaking in that Revelation chapter 3, he said, if you do this, I will not erase your name from the book of life. That is, your name is written. The risk is erasure. Are you getting my point? And it's not as if they erase it anytime you do something wrong, and then they go and rewrite it once you confess. You say, Pastor Panke, are you saying that Christians are allowed to sin? I said, this was the same thing they told Paul. And he answered, are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? There are questions that only are asked by people who go to church but are not true believers. And I have no answer for them. If you come to me and say, Pastor, you are saying I can sin, I'll still go to hell. And I'll still go to heaven. You are not a Christian if you walk up to me and you are looking for excuses for your sins. You are not a believer if you enjoy iniquity and therefore you are looking for how to corner God into, hey, I can continue. You need to really give your life to Christ. You are one of those that when they will lock the door. You know, I told you many pastors aren't going anywhere. Not because God says they committed, though. It's because they are not believers. He said, but they manifested the power of God. Even a donkey spoke under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Balaam heard. Go and read that story. Jesus, they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. No, Jesus was speaking. He said, in the last days, many will come and say, did we not cast out demons in your name? And I will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. He said, I never knew you. While you were casting out demons in my name, I did not know who was talking. I don't know whether I get the point. You pastor a church, you do ministry, does not make you a believer. It's unfortunate that these days people walk up their way so that you'll be promoted. Faithfulness is to pastor, bishop, and archbishop so that we can be promoted. And to them, it's a sign that they are believers. That doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian? I'll tell you that you simply sat down one day and said, Jesus, have mercy on me. I give you my life. And you meant it. You could have said that in the bottom of the sea, on the top of a mountain, alone in your closet, or you answered an altar call at a crusade. Many people that answer calls at crusades these days in churches, many of them answer altar calls unto prosperity. I mean, what does it mean to be a believer? That is, you gave your life to Christ, that do with me as you please. Forgive me my sins. I want to live in a manner pleasing to you. Whether they promote you or not in your assembly is totally irrelevant. Don't forget, Jesus said something to us clearly. When I plant wheat, the enemy comes out and sows tares amongst them. There are people who are going to church. They have title reverend. They are senior pastors and all of that. And they are not Christians. Pastor Banky mentioned the name of one. I don't know. I just know they are there. People start, they say they dreamt. I've read all kinds of things, stories of dreams. I went to hellfire and I saw somebody there. Why are you in hellfire? Because I used to wear short skirts on the earth. Consider, why am I in hellfire today? Because when you count church money, I'm not counting and complete. Listen. He said, those who believe, they are not condemned. But those who do not believe are condemned already. What sends you to hellfire is that you rejected Jesus Christ when he was offered to you. Let's get this clear. There's eternal condemnation. It comes because you reject Jesus when he's given to you. If you think you can walk on this earth, that your aim is, I must never do anything wrong so I can go to heaven, you are wasting your time. You will be ineffective on this earth. Because, you know, people misjudge sin. If God says go to the right and you go to the left, I hope you know, as long as you're on the left, you are walking in sin. I hope you know that. There are many things people do. They don't realize it's iniquity. Because it is not stealing. It is not fornication. It is not adultery. It is not, maybe, you know, those when we're young, backbiting. Once I was 7, I was just, we went for a trip, you know, like an excursion, me and the fellow coppers. And I said something to one fellow. And, you know, and I said, who was I talking about? Because we're talking about somebody. Actually, there was one fellow there, was a Muslim. He was fasting during the fasting feast festival. He has become so thin. I was like, oh boy, see that guy, he don't thin like this because of fasting. So one guy now overheard me. He said, no. Backbiting is a sin. No. You're not supposed to backbite. Because I say a man don't lose weight because of fasting. That's backbiting. I don't want to start telling you about the Orukuruku. The man who said I shouldn't backbite, what he was biting. What's the point I'm making? We gather little things and call them sin. We gather cigarette smoking and say it is sin. You find a man with a can of beer and say it is sin. Then the man pointing out these little sins. God said to him, be a businessman. He's pastoring the church. He does not realize, you know, because he's a pastor, he thinks that is the work of God. He doesn't know that he will die faster than the man smoking. He doesn't realize it. He doesn't understand that he's not walking according to the plan of God for his life. He doesn't know that he's walking in total ignorance. They've made him a branch pastor, a man with no anointing, no understanding, no calling. He's walking with the pride of life. He has gone to buy a sticker, pastor, and put it on his car. You've seen those stickers. And when you ask him, hello, what is your name? I am Reverend. He's irreverent in everything he's doing, but he's reverent. And he actually feels as if he's serving God. And he stands there and points at a man who's smoking ordinary Benson and Hedges. Say, Pastor Panky, are you saying smoking is good? I'm a pathologist. I can tell you what smoking does for you. It gives you cancer of the lungs. It gives you emphysema, chronic bronchitis, thromboangitis obliterans. I can sit down here and count for you for a very long time. One thing I can assure you that it doesn't send you to hellfire. All those lies you've been using, those cheating you've been cheating people at fuel pump, that one sends you to the core of the sun. Temperature is higher than anywhere else. Not even hellfire. That one, it goes there faster. You now see a man who cannot be trusted. If he says, I will come at one, you won't see him for 2 days. And he points, and he feels righteous. Listen, let me tell you. The man who smokes cigarettes will be sick. His breath will smell. He will not be well. He will have problems in life. But you can be sure of one thing. He's better than the pastor who God did not call into ministry. If both of them are truly Christians. I hope you hear what I'm saying. If you see a woman who smokes, you say, how can you be smoking? She's better than a woman who walks out while her husband is talking. I hope you understand that. Look, why am I explaining all of these things I'm saying? I want you to know that many of us are committing real iniquity and pointing fingers at those who are committing small iniquity. You see, boys go to school. Say, don't mind that, my friend. He's a wicked boy. He's smoking. Now, listen. Nigerian culture, if you smoke, you have a problem. I hope you understand my point. You really have a problem. You know, because I told that this is not just the act. It's the communion that goes with it. You understand my point? But I'm just trying to identify the act. You see a boy whose father cannot call and he will answer. He'll be pointing to his friend who smokes. Maybe that one smokes because his father smokes. In which case, smoking is a family problem. But he obeys his father in every other thing. They say that one is a sinner. But him, that his father can't trust, he talks to his father rudely, he dresses his mother like the Bible says, so that his lamp will go out in the time of darkness, but he considers himself a good man. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying in context. I'm not saying go and get it and say, my God, okay, now give me a stick. Your pastor says, okay. I didn't say it's okay. I didn't say so. I'm trying to explain this issue of not understanding righteousness, not understanding what is really iniquity, trying to condemn somebody else and trying to walk in our own self-righteousness, thinking that will get us somewhere, when we don't realize that that is not what God is using to judge us. Nobody is sent to hellfire because he smoked a cigarette. He smoked a cigarette. None. It is those who reject Jesus Christ that are in bondage. They are the ones that are under condemnation. He said, anyone whose name is not found written in that book, that is the one that is thrown into the lake of fire. And listen to me, for believers, apostasy is the problem. And let me tell you something. If a Christian starts walking in backsliding, God is merciful. Are you getting my point? He tries to restore him. He tries to restore her. And listen, what people don't understand, let me tell you something. This earth is a very short period. I'll say it clear. It's a very short period of time. This is my perception. I can't say I'm totally certain about this or that that's how it is, all right? In the depth of truth. But I suspect that the way you step into eternity from this earth is the way you will remain eternally. I don't know what I heard I said. That's what I think. I think this is our training school. I think this is the place where God checks what we really are like before we exit this phase and go into the next. Please, I recommend this book again, Rejoiner's Final Quest. Because when I first met my wife, when I spoke like this, she thought something was wrong with this pastor. Then she read the book, The Final Quest, and the man explained a lot of things. Because he got to heaven and he saw that there were ranks of people. And that for Christians, faithfulness is number one. Are you getting my point? And let me just read something. Why am I preaching the way I'm preaching today? I want us to understand once again that your passport, your key to eternal life. Now listen to that. Your key to eternal life is knowing God and Jesus Christ, his son. The thing that gets you into heaven in God's presence is that you have believed on Jesus Christ, his son, who he sent. It is not that you never did anything wrong. Please, I hope you are getting my point. Why am I saying all of these things? I want Christians to walk in freedom and be able to serve God. Do you get my point? You know, when people didn't understand it, when men wanted to be pure, they went into caves, they went into monasteries, they segregated themselves from the earth. Are you getting my point? That's from the normal, from the world. Yeah, that's the word. They separated themselves from the world in the physical sense, and thereby disobey God. Yes, they started disobeying God by that. Why? Because Jesus said, I'm sending you out like what? Sheep. Where? Where? Amongst, not away from the wolves. You are supposed to be among the wolves. He said, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. You cannot hide from the world and you'll be effective as a minister of the gospel. Who are you ministering to? Do you get the point? When men were afraid of contamination, not understanding that that righteousness comes by faith, righteousness comes by interacting with the word of God. The expression of divine nature in them is amplified as they interact with the word of God, not as they run away from the world. He said, walk in the spirit, and you will not be contaminated by the world. Let me put it like that. Instead of doing that, what did we do? We went to hide. And we thought the holy men were those who hid. That's not holiness. Holiness is established only in a relationship with Christ Jesus. Holiness is not accomplished by running away physically from the world. It is only accomplished as the knowledge of God is increasing in you. You cannot run away from the people you are supposed to preach to. That's when Christians don't understand. That's what they start doing. They become ineffective because they are afraid of sin. Sin that God has taken care of by the sacrifice of Jesus. Something that God has put the nature of himself inside them so that with ease they can walk above that sin as long as they continue interacting with the word of God and fellowshipping with the brethren. No, they go and hide. And people start amplifying every little thing. I've heard people preach on TV. Even if I've been in churches. If you are still perming your hair, you are going to die and go to hell. You've heard it before. I've heard all kinds of... that it became impossible not to go to hell. That even the man preaching, I knew for certain, if God were to judge according to his message, he's going first. The man preaching. Because if God were to number iniquity, pastor will not stand up. The reason is because, you know, I've said it again and again. What God calls iniquity, you don't even want to know. Job was bragging on his righteousness. He had four men speaking with him. Eli being the last one. And he challenged any one of them to itemize for him what he ever did wrong. Do you know they could not until Elihu spoke up? The other three, they spoke and spoke because all the iniquity they knew was that you hired somebody, you did not pay. All the iniquity they knew was that you saw your neighbor's wife and you collected. All the iniquity they knew was that you sold 10 measures and measured trickily. You understand my point? Trickishly, you measured 8. Those are the iniquities they knew. They counted and counted and counted and counted. That you must be a liar. He said, which lie have I ever told you? Which day did I come to you to tell you that the sun rises from the west and sets in the east? Which lie have I ever told you? They say, okay, it's not lying. It is women. They say, okay, you know my wife. Apart from her, tell me one woman you caught me once looking at. Not holding. Not hugging. Not kissing. Just looking at. He said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Therefore, I don't look at young women anyhow. They said, no, it's not that one. They kept, at the end of the day, he had to say, oh, look, if you have nothing else to say, keep quiet. So everybody agreed to keep quiet. But they kept quiet with the impression that the man is just a self-righteous, you know, bagger. He said, you call me a self-righteous bagger, tell me what I did wrong. And everybody was lost. Until Elihu began to speak. And Elihu did not point one thing out that Job did wrong. He just pointed out the difference and the might of God as compared to the person called Job. Job and men around him that time, they counted iniquity the way they understood. They didn't realize that if God really wanted to count iniquity, nobody can stand. And what am I preaching again? I said, don't worry about it. Are you getting my point? Walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Don't worry yourself about let me not die and go to hell. You are not going to hell. What did I say? Unless you are not a Christian, which is is established that 50% at least of those who go to Pentecostal churches these days are not Christians. They just go to church. I don't want to discuss that in detail. All right? But what I want each person to do is just ask yourself, am I a Christian? What makes you a Christian? It's simple. Have I looked in prayer at the face of God and said, God, this is my life. I want it to be yours alone. That Jesus, I give you my life. I'm not out for eye service. I want to serve you. Do I come to the word of God just to know God more? Not tricks for doing my business. Not tricks for success. How to sow a seed so I can get more money. Do I come to the word of God just with a heart that wants to know, a heart that wants to be corrected, a heart that wants to live in a godly fashion? Is my godliness a matter of impressing the preachers in my church, the elders there, so they can promote me? Once you rule those things out, you're a believer and you are going to heaven. What did I say? Say, I'm going to heaven. Listen, you can't go to hell. Amen? Until you open your mouth. Go and read this book. Kenneth Higgins' Triumphant Church. There's a story of one woman there that he told. And I'm going to say something about that as I'm going on. I'm talking about apostasy. What sin does, one of the problems of walking in sin is that it sets you up for apostasy. Okay, let me just quickly dispense of that now. When men's hearts become very, very hardened, that they walk into apostasy, I've read scriptures to show that a man's name, all right, somebody's name can be erased from the book of life. They can erase, but it's not something they do every day. That's just the point I'm making, so that you can walk with freedom. Just, you know, don't. God is not looking for how to get you. You get what I'm saying? Say, this boy, wait, I will soon send him to hellfire. That's not what he's trying to do. He's trying to purify you. Are you getting my point? He's trying to make you better. And you will see something. The first thing God does for a sinning believer is to send him into tribulation. That's why I said to you the other day, some people say, what are you talking about? I said, listen, you want to die early, go and start committing. Paul said that this, if I say this, it surprise you. There was a man that he took his father's wife and was living with her. And Paul said, what have I done? He said, I have handed him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh so that his spirit can be saved. You want to be punished on this earth, start walking in sin. And the sin we are talking about is not saying, hey, every babe will pass beside you, you grab. That's not what I'm talking about. That's overt, you know, overt things. Little things like, you know, go and read this, go and listen to this message I preached many years ago. Quench not the spirit. I said, if you decide that you are going to, the reason why God gave you life can only be done when you have time. You won't live long. That you want to kill yourself early. You've located your gift, but because money is flowing easily from another place, you abandon the reason why God gave you life to go and pursue money. You are, one thing is guaranteed, you will not live long. Let me tell you what the Bible calls, people don't understand this thing. They think about, you know, it's because you think sin is, I stole money. Some people look at Nigerian politicians and say they are worse sinners than everybody else. They are just normal Nigerians. Most Nigerians steal. Did I say Nigerians? Human beings. Human beings like to steal a lot. But when you know, if you are the head of a student council, you can only steal maybe 10,000 naira. When you become the head of pension fund, you can take 15 billion. Both of you are the same level of thieves in the realm of the spirit. People think that's all they've seen. Look, listen. I told you that William Marion Braham was a leading prophet. Let me tell you the kind of prophet this man was. Other preachers said when things were hard, they used to send the people to him to minister to them. Let me tell you the kind of prophet this man was. I have a book, The Acts of the Prophet. One man was describing his life to show that this man was a prophet of God. That there was a particular kind of cloud that formed in a desert, I think Nevada, somewhere in the United States. And it was photographed. The person put the picture there. And that cloud was unusual. It's recorded that this is a very unusual cloud. That it was the day, I've forgotten the number of angels that came to meet this man and discuss with him. And that cloud was formed as they left the earth. That's the kind of man I'm telling you about. Talking about man of God. The accident that killed him, he was injured. He took his injured hand, put it on his wife that had died. She woke up. Listen, yet, that man was teaching the Bible. And they warned him that you are not anointed to teach. Stop. He wouldn't listen. And God spoke to another prophet and said, in 5 years, I'm going to remove that man from this earth because he's leading the body of Christ astray. End of 1965, a car ran into his car and killed him. That's what sin does to Christians. Go and read that Revelation 5. Jesus said, chapter 3, Jesus said that, listen, Jesus, you will not repent. I'm going to throw you into the tribulation that's about to come. Listen, Christians, if you want to suffer in life, join politics and start stealing. As an old man, you will beg. God will use you as an example. I'm telling you, you think Look, the God I preach, I'm not saying he flogs his children. Flogging people is not a sign of wickedness. It's a sign of order. You know, that the order, number one, is love. And secondly, you respect order. You want to put order in a place. People think that sin is just that I stole money. If you know the word, if you know the God, you know, the main thing that concerns God. I've explained this before, that revelation that we read, books were opened. What kind of books? There are two sets of books over your life. One set was written before you were born. The other side is said it's been written. The moment you gave your life to Christ, they wiped everything that was on it away and started writing. This time around, they don't write sins. They don't. I've read the scriptures enough to know that nobody has time to be recording how many lies you told. They said they will show your life when they get to heaven. You think they have time for horror movies? Home video. All the things you did in secret. You think we want to watch it? So your whole life will be on display. Me, I don't want to watch. And I'm going to ask my wife, I hate seeing bad things. Ask her. One day, my wife said, why are you quarreling with me? Because you know when they bond these some boys, they lynch them. Is it Alo, whatever they call her. That is, as it says on YouTube. I said, I don't watch everything that's on YouTube. My wife came home. They showed her the thing somewhere. He said, if you see, I said, if you talk about it, me and you will call it now. I said, stop that. I don't want to hear it. He said, what is it? I said, what is it? Is that I don't want you to put nonsense imaginations in my mind. There are too many evil things working. There are many things I'm trying to purge my mind off. If whatever things are perfect, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, think on these things. Those are the things that bring the peace of God into my mind. Don't come and crowd me with how they lean some four young boys. So when my sons are going out on the road, I'm afraid. Tell me stories of deliverance. Tell me how angels came and whisked people away from the midst of trouble. Tell me how they struck a fire and it did not light. I want to hear that. What am I going to explain? In heaven, nobody has... You think God loves bad movies? I catch you. Who was that? Was that your wife? No, sir. Nobody has time for that. What did they start writing? The things that are done. The things that you do in line with the will of God for your life. I read a story once. I think one of, Kenegi was a prophet. One of the experiences he had, the Lord took him up to heaven and he met one of his wife's sisters, something like that. And they began to talk. She had died. And when he was not religious, they said, he said that she didn't seem to, let me remember the host, I can't remember the whole story now, that she didn't seem to know that the husband had remarried. But what they notice in heaven, all they notice, is when you make a commitment to serve God deeper. Let's summarize it. When you improve your walk with God, when you begin to do the things that God said you should do, that is what it sounds in heaven. Books were opened. Those books, a set were written before you were born, and there's another set written after you gave your life to Christ, after you began to live. Did he preach as we said he should preach? Did he start the businesses that we said he should start? Did he affect the lives we said he should affect? How did she live her life in the course of this gospel according to the anointing we give to her? Those are the questions, things they write down. And let me not preach Rick Jonas' message again. Go and buy the final quest. You will see how it affects your placement when you get to heaven. So there are those who sit on thrones around the Lord. And there are those that have to go and buy earthly binoculars to see where the throne is. I added the earthly binoculars, so it didn't say like that. But that's how far away they are. There are elders in heaven. They are not elders because they are old. How do I know? Jesus said, for you to sit on my left and on my right, there are certain things you have to pass through. Now, I said all of that to just explain the fact that in the heaven we are talking about, it's not everybody is equal. There's no animosity. There's no jealousy. But the positions of responsibility, they are different. Your proximity to the throne differs. Are you getting my point? And for that reason, I say it again, go and read the book, Rejoin Us, The Final Quest. You'll get more understanding. Now, I said, what does sin do to the Christian? We need to read this. I said, you should open somewhere, right? Matthew 24, okay. Go down to verse 45. Who then is a faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? He said, blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, now notice what sin is. My master is not coming for a long time. And you see, for that reason, he begins, verse 49, to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour which he does not know. And he will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I want you to understand something here. I want to describe what sin is. You notice something here? That sin, let's just, in this context, is maltreating your fellow servants, your fellow slaves. Are you getting the point? Walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Now, this man was busy maltreating other people. And for that reason, when the master came, he was not found doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was not judged for maltreating anybody. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? How do I know he was not judged for maltreating anybody? All you need to do is read the other parable of Jesus Christ in which the master handed out talents or minas. One of them did not maltreat anybody. He took it and buried it. He got the same judgment. Are you getting what I'm saying? You see, therefore, that the judgment is not because of maltreating anybody. The judgment was you did not do what I told you to do. When God was going to reject Saul, it was simply because we said, go and do something. You didn't do it, and you began to argue. He said, obedience is better than to sacrifice. What am I going to say? Do something, you are not going to do it. And why would this man not do it? That's what I want to talk about. Or that's what I'm talking about. He did not do it because he was busy doing that which was iniquity. Please, follow what I'm trying to explain. Your life was created. You were created for a particular reason. Life was given to you for a particular purpose. If Jesus had taken the bait of Satan and had bowed down when he said he should bow down, you know what would have happened? He would not have died for the world. He would have been busy doing administration, trying to make the world come into proper order. That is why in life, you were not called to come and change this country. You were called to do the will of God. In doing the will of God, you will change the nation. Are you getting my point? The Father is the one blessing us, blessing the country. And you do not know enough. You don't have enough wisdom to know how he's doing it. All you need to know is what you are supposed to do. Do that and watch how he works things out. There is something that God gave you life for. He judges you concerning whether you are doing it or not. And let me say this again to help a lot of people. Being a pastor is not more, listen, in your life, is not more important than being a businessman. If you are called to be a businessman but not called to be a pastor, the plague in the body of, one of the plagues, not the main one, one of the plagues in the body of Christ today is that many churches are branching like amoeba. Binary fission. By the time they finish breaking up, they forget to, there's no nucleus. So they put a mitochondrion and make it the head pastor. Those who know biology know what I'm talking about. The thing has power. It has ATP. Electron transport chain. Those of us who know biology. It can generate a lot of power, but it does not have, it doesn't have
DNA to coordinate all the activities of the cell. He's not a called preacher. And they say we now have 55 branches. Only two of them have DNA nucleus. The rest are being managed by Golgi bodies, Golgi apparatus, you know. Very few have nuclei, simply because we think it's just to multiply. Unfortunately, we are killing people. A young man that's supposed to go and do his business and make a billion and use a billion to preach the gospel on air. You know, one of my friends said the other day, you know how many of you know Benny Hinn? You know, about 4 years ago, his wife divorced him. Last year, they got married in a grand, the two of them remarried in, is it this year? Oh, it was this year. Okay. March this year. That was this month. Okay, I watched it just 2 days ago. I thought it was something from, oh, thank you. They remarried this year in a grand ceremony. Officiated by Jack Hayford. Prayer said by Rehan Bonnke. I'm serious. Music minister Judy Jacobs. You've heard very few people minister like Judy Jacobs in your life. When I saw that woman, she looked like she was 28, 30. She's a grandmother. The train were their children and their grandchildren. The youngest of their children is like 23 or 24. The oldest in his mid-30s. And one of our brothers said, when he divorced, CNN told us, when he remarried, nothing. When he remarried the same wife, Satan is angry. No, Satan is angry. He was wishing that, what is wrong with them? Wanted to paint us black. Finally, God came through. He's now ashamed to him, so he won't tell us. And God doesn't want him to tell us. CNN is Calamity News Network. It's an anointing to spread bad news. If you go and check everything they said about the new pope, they will say this and this and say he's inherited a church plagued by sexual, immorality and financial impropriety. Go and check every statement they made about that appointment of the new pope. What he will not tell you, that is, I heard that one from somewhere else, is that that pope is one who thinks, unlike many other Catholics, he's one who thinks that all Christians are one. That he used to regularly, in Argentina where he came from, join the yearly retreat by preachers in the nation. He doesn't come as a preacher, he comes as one of them. He's the one that Pentecostal preacher, everybody gathered. Time to pray. He knelt down, man, my brothers, pray for me. I need this anointing. No, they won't tell you all of that. All they tell you that is a pope inheriting a church plagued by allegations of child sexual abuse and corruption in the Vatican Bank. They always added to it. Anyway, let's not sit there. It's their job. It's called the world. You are the world. That's what they are. You understand my point? Now, for God to answer them back, he said, I planted some of my own people. They will have money. It's not anointing you used to preach on the air. It's money. Anointing is what you now say when you get there. But to get there, and many people are not hearing the gospel because many people that are supposed to be bringing the money are somewhere else preaching. And God said, I don't want you to preach. You don't know anything. You have no anointing. It's people like you that misrepresent my gospel. Go be an honest man. Make money. Then bring the money. Give it to those people who can preach. Let them use that one to preach. And everything is balanced. But they lie to you that to be a preacher is more honorable. And you say, because I don't smoke and I don't use beer, I'm going to heaven. And God said, wait till you get here. You will see the amount of flogging I prepared for unprofitable servants like you. What does sin do to the Christian? It does not allow him, it does not allow her to fulfill the will of God for their lives. It does not. They are busy doing other things. I was telling my wife the other day that men that commit adultery, they have a problem. You know, there's a unit of, let me use the word. You know, when you talk about love, there's agape love, there's filial, there's eros, all of them. For a between a husband and wife, everything is combined. Yes. Agape is there for everybody. Filial has different types. And there's one for your wife. And then people can say eros is a ungodly love. It's a lie. When a married man drinks the spirit of eros, amen, and he aims it in the right direction, Jukes, you agree? It's the will of God. I said, the problem with men, because you see, you're a married person, your relationship matters to God. It matters to your effectiveness in ministry. When I say ministry, I don't mean preaching. No. Ministry is preaching for me. For many people listening to me, it's not ministry for, preaching is not ministry for them. Sharing with your neighbor is ministry. You get my point? Whatever you believe, you share with somebody. That's how you all minister the gospel of Christ. We share the word. I'm talking about preaching, opening church, writing tracts, distributing, you know, start preaching on the airways. That's what I'm talking about, preaching. All right? For your own, building your business, maybe your ministry. You know, the other day, just by the way, you know, Siben is not around. All right. And Siben is the guy who makes my native clothes. So he made one for me. I said, well, initially I wasn't so sure I liked it. I said, okay, don't worry, I'll take it. I'll wear it like that. The man was begging me that, no, he'll make another one. I was feeling sorry that, no, don't worry. It's okay, I'll manage it. He said, no, that he could not allow, he won't like to come to where I'm preaching and I'm wearing something that he made and he's not proud of it. It was just, and after a while, I said, don't worry, I'll take the thing. It's okay, don't waste the money. He now said something to me, which he won. He said, sir, I don't know how to preach. This is my own ministry. I said, take. Go and remake it. He said, I can't stand up and preach the way you do. He said, but I can sit there and watch what you are wearing and know that I did that ministry. Now, so you see, ministry is in every area. Your relationship with your wife affects your ministry. That's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about popularity. I'm talking about effective ministry. If your wife is always harassing you, and children say, where's daddy? I don't know. He has gone again. That's how he goes. Listen to me. You will make bad business decisions. Your trucks will jam. They will have accident. Why? Because your wife is angry. You will pray, and God will say, did you say something? You are praying, no? God will say, did you say something? Say, Lord, I'm trying to get you to understand something here. Say, what? You will help me. Eh? Why? Because you are at variance in your home, therefore your prayer is hindered. So he can't hear you. You think it's everything God hears? No. There's filter. No, it's in the scriptures. So the Bible says he will not hear. It's literal. He doesn't hear. Yesterday I was saying something. Are you talking to me? Me? I thought you were listening. You know you are God. You know everything. Yes, this one. I know they listen. When people, when husband and wife are like this, I'm going somewhere. Therefore, offenses must come. Amen? No, it's true. Offenses must come. You are married, offenses will come. So when offense comes, something happens between man and his wife. All right? And then he has one Jezebel outside. What God had done was to package all the love in his life in such a manner that even if he won't vex, that love will say, I need release. I need to be expressed. I need to love somebody. So the pressure will eventually, you know, I told you before, there are different ways. Men reconcile for different reasons. Sometimes they just have to reconcile. Chooks. The Lord is good. They just have to reconcile. Say, so we'll talk about it in the morning. Let's just reconcile right now. But when the man has many wives outside, he won't reconcile. He will always have a reason to, and he's right. You know he's right. After every man's way is right in his own eyes. So he's right. He explains to all his friends why he's right. And because somebody is there to be said, don't mind her. He will never see her viewpoint. So what does sin do? Sin ensures that the variance in his home is perpetual. Are you getting my point? That it stops, you know, that avenue, things that God had created to bring about reconciliation. Benny Hinn says something. I'm not listening to him. He and his wife were separated for years. I think about 4 years or so.
I don't know how many years. They divorced a few years ago, maybe like 2-3 years. I'm not sure. But the point is this. He says something. When people ask, what happened? He said, no, let me answer it directly. It was not because of sexual immorality. Now, I'm bringing out something here. I believe. Thank God for the power of forgiveness, all of that. But I think that makes it easier for reconciliation. You know, most of our brethren, they say, hey, divorce, they don't divorce. Next week, Benny Hinn don't marry somebody else. Thereby making it impossible. One bro in America there, he divorced on Sunday or Monday. By the following weekend, he married a former secretary. A week after. You see what sin does? It makes it impossible. Now you get my point? That energy has been released somewhere. If he had kept that energy, it would have been easier for them to reconcile. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm going to make. I hope what I'm saying is clear to you. Listen, what does sin do to a Christian? It makes him get boys' quarter corner at near the gate when he gets to heaven. He's not effective in ministry. He can't do what he's supposed to be doing. No man of God, no woman of God who wants to be effective in ministry can tolerate sin in his or her life. And let's not talk about, thank God, Kingdom World money doesn't enter my account. That's not, look, you see, that small sin. I mean, those are trivial ones. There are some things that can ruin, you know, on the first surface they look small. Are you getting my point? But they are the ones that have spiritual power. Let me give a very good example. Jealousy. Any jealous preacher will not do well in ministry. He can't. You're a preacher? And you're wondering what the boy, how come their church is growing like that? What is it? Don't mind that you are angry with everybody. You will soon see. In fact, many men who start committing all kinds of other things, those are the real devils that open the door for all those small devils of his stealing, his committing adultery, his doing all of those ones. Little things like jealousy. And what does that do? Did you hear? Chooks, for all the preachers I've been preaching, nobody gave me a brand new car. Chris that left here the other day, because he went to start a church, his last birthday, they give him a brand new Jeep. Israel, from now we're missing on Sunday morning. Why? After all this preaching, I've been preaching. Oh, God. But God, the car you drive, is it bad? What is it? Those we baptize are not gathering more disciples than us. You know that kind of thing. The fellow is angry. That's the beginning of the end of his life. Means I was blessing multitudes before. After a few years, where they were reaching 100,000 people, they're reaching 50,000. After like 20 years, few people say, there was one Pastor Banky that time. That guy used to preach, Where is he now? He's there. He has a stroke. He can't talk again. He said, what happened? You should have been exercising and taking good care of the girls. They shut up. This is no exercise matter. He should have exercised himself in not being jealous. Should have exercised himself in godliness. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Listen, that's what sin does to a Christian. And what we call good works, which are real seeds that we sow. I don't want to go into it. I thought I was going to talk about it today, but the Holy Spirit kept me here. So let me just take a few minutes and then I leave. If you go and check it, he said, Master, here is the mina you gave me. Has made 10 more. And what did he say? Be in charge of 10 cities. What's the point I'm trying to make? Your good works that are coming out of the recreated human spirit, coming out of the godly spirit that God has poured into you, is setting you up for greater effectiveness in life. Listen, if God says to you, as an example, I just used to like to illustrate, that only you, working effectively, doing your business well, doing your ministry well, you are going to be responsible for 1 billion people hearing the gospel on a daily basis. We are going to be responsible for 100,000 people having high-level quality education that will result in national transformation. You understand my point? And all of these are going to cost money. Now, listen to this. We're talking money now. Now,
Some will start praying, God, give me a billion. Give me $10 billion so I can do it, assuming God allows you to see it. You understand my point? And you want to be able to do that. Unfortunately for you, God doesn't give you $1 billion. He doesn't give you $10 billion. He gives you 15,000 naira every month. Are you getting my point? You say, what am I supposed to do? I'll tell you. Life is in phases. He said, be fruitful. Multiply. Fill the earth. Have dominion. Are you getting my point? It's in stages. The first stage is stage of what? Fruitfulness. One single seed will produce one small plant that has fruit that contains seed in them. Are you getting my point? So this is fruitfulness. Do the one you can here. Don't worry about 1 billion people hearing the gospel on a daily basis or 100,000 people having quality education. Just take out of this money, print a few tracts as an example, and share with 10 people on a daily basis. Are you getting what I'm saying? Manage your money well. Don't owe money. Don't go, you are earning 15,000. Why are you buying a suit of 25,000? You're not paying every month for the next 6 months. Suit. By the time you finish paying, don't wear out. Do you get my point? God says, I'm watching you. It's 15,000 I know. But the same diligence and wisdom with which you manage it is what you might use to manage $15 billion. So I'm watching you. Some Christians say, I'm just going to give anything every year. I just sow it. I say, this one, if you give him a company, he will sell it and sow all the money. And that way, he won't help anybody. You know, look, listen, God has sense. So, you know what I'm saying? Don't think you're looking for offering. If some people think that once you just give God offering, you know, they think again. They say, Lord, I, Solomon, I'm coming with 1,000 burnt offerings. Now begin to swear what you are going to give me. You know, so, there are people who still believe till tomorrow that the reason why God was swearing that Solomon, I will bless, ask me for anything, is because he gave 1,000 burnt offerings. You know, when you don't read your Bible well, you will just be misjudged. The Bible says a cattle, not sheep. How many, what did Solomon sacrifice? No, be sheep. But a cattle on what? On what? No, be cattle. That one belongs to God. What about the, what is now the big deal about 1,000 sheep? You can be sure God is not impressed. What impresses God is obedience. What impresses God is that you follow due order. Anything he speaks to you by instruction from his word, obey it. Stop trying to be, you know, don't try to impress him with things he did not command. Back to the issue of the young man. So God says, look, this is all the money you are going to have for now. But I'm watching how you manage it. Are you getting my point? Okay, you're supposed to be a businessman. Let me see how you manage your business. Are you looking for money? Or like I always preach, you are looking for a good name. Because as a Christian, first in business planning is how do I establish a good name? How will people know that if I'm the one that produced that, it must be genuine? Like, is it a GP that used to say those days? Or I forgot it. Or is it Hart? One of them. He said, the quality is not in it. Our logo is not on it. Look, every Christian should strive for that. That was their advert. If the quality is not in it, our logo is not on it. Do you get my point? God says, how are you managing that? He's judging that on that 15,000 naira. When you have become fruitful, then you begin to multiply. Then you begin to fill the earth. Then you subdue it. That is when you have what? Dominion. Then you cannot do those things. That's when your business starts giving so much money that you cannot afford to put the gospel on the airwaves and print everywhere, and 1 billion people are attending to it on a daily basis. That's when you can start giving scholarships. Are you getting my point? Not because you just woke up and decided to start doing it, but because God gave you little and you became what? Fruitful. You were effective. That is what good works, all right, represent in that area of ministry for Christians. That's why a lot of people, listen, let me just say this, I need to say it. They said, you know, I give 10,000 naira, now I have 100,000 naira. Go and read what Paul said. If you give 10,000 and you have 100,000, it is so that you can give 100,000. Did you hear what I said? It is not Christianity that when I sow 10,000, God gave me a car. Now I'm driving large. That's not Christianity. That's coincidence. Yeah, you know, see, I told you, once you cross that door,
begin listening to me. I don't scatter many things where you've been planned. A lot of things you had planned, I've messed them up thoroughly for you. That car you got is because you prayed, not because you sowed. If it is the seed, let me tell you what the seed does. It said God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things, we are bound to every good work. He said, how did he say it again? I want to read it. Quickly open it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. Let me just read that and then we'll close. I want to quote it correctly. What God is saying is simple. I increase the harvest of your righteousness so as to make you able to do greater things. If you read from verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that always having all sufficient in everything, you may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, there is righteousness endures forever. Righteousness, there talks about the acts of righteousness. He said, now this is what I wanted to quote. Now he will supply seed to the sower and bread for food. Notice this. We both supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Notice this. He will multiply your seed for what? No, look at it now. He will multiply your seed for what? No. He will multiply. Read it. Look at verse 10. He said, now he will supply seed to the sower and bread for food. We supply and multiply what? My Bible says he will multiply your seed for sowing. And he will increase the harvest of your righteousness. Notice verse 11. So as to remove the confusion, you will be enriched in everything. For what? Listen. The testimony of true Christianity is that last year, I used to give out 10,000 naira. God has so blessed me. This year, I give half a million. It is childish. The last year I was giving 10,000 this year and I have a new car. You will not share that on a microphone that I have control over. Are you getting what I'm saying? If I have control over that mic, you won't share that testimony. It's an annoying and stupid testimony. It is propagating fallacy. It's not true. True testimony is that when I do good works, God gives me opportunity to do more because it's a sign of faithfulness. You were in charge of giving 10,000 naira offerings. Now be in charge of giving a million. That's what he said. Are you getting what I'm saying? You were in charge of taking care of prisoners in prison. Now be in charge of preserving the nation Egypt and Israel when they come. That's what he said to Joseph. No ruler, real Christian ruler, godly people, goes to office and they are chopping life. They are just enjoying life. All those ones are unprofitable princes that feast in the morning. Real princes don't have time to feast like that. To be a ruler is a responsibility. In my little place, I'm a head of department. Just a federal institution, that's the university, teaching hospital, and the university. And I know what it means to be a head of department. All kinds of human beings call you at odd times. The people below you, one of the people that work under me in that hospital, he has a habit. Israel has seen it before. Once he starts calling, you must pick that phone. The phone can ring 10 consecutive times. And he said, maybe if you reject it, he will know you are busy. Now lie. You've just confirmed to him that you are there. So when I don't want to talk to him, I reject the call and put off the phone. And if I'm in the office, he will now walk down there. Are you here? Okay, I was calling you. Yes, it's not enjoyment. It's only sinners that think it's a position of enjoyment. Those who want to steal, those who want to oppress, they're the ones that think so. Real Christians don't think so. We understand that it's a matter of responsibility. I hope I preach my message today. I want to close. I hope I preach my message today. In summary, you are going to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
You are a citizen of heaven. Did I hear an amen? You are an ambassador of Christ on this earth. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
You have passed out of death into life. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
You have passed out of judgment
all right, into God's mercy and into life. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Listen, you are not a citizen of hellfire.
Amen.
And you are not going there.
Amen.
You hear what I said?
Yes.
You are not a friend of the devil.
Yes.
You are of your Father, our Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ has saved you. Say it, I have been saved.
I am saved.
I have been delivered.
I am delivered.
Listen, you are a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
If you die today, you are going to heaven.
Amen.
If you die next year, you are going to heaven.
Amen.
If Jesus Christ comes back today, he's taking you to heaven.
Amen.
You are going with him to the throne of the Father.
Amen.
If you die in 100 years' time, Jesus has not yet come back by then, you are going to heaven.
Amen.
You know what? I don't have time to go into it because of time. One of the things that being a good Christian and doing good works does for you. Go and read that Hebrews chapter 6. He said, we know that there are people like this who have rejected and then for them there's no more this thing. He said, but we are convinced of better things concerning you. Why? Because God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love you have shown towards his name in that you minister to the saints and you still minister.